Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Yevamos Samach Dalet. We are on the very bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Tanu Rabbanan. Back on the topic of the mitzvah of Piru and Rivu. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Ubenucha Yomar, when the Aron would rest, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Shuba Hashem, come back and have your Shechina rest upon Rivavos Alpha Yisrael, Rivavos the myriads, the ten thousands, and Alpha the thousands of Yisrael. Twice 10,000, twice 1,000. What does this teach us? Melamed, we learn from here. She'ena Shechina Shoyre Al Pochis Mishne Alofim Ushne Rivavos Yisrael. In order for the Shechina to rest properly, we need at least twice 10,000 and twice 1,000, 22,000 of Yisrael. Now, Harei Shehu Yisrael, Shnei Alofim, Ushnei Rivavos. Now suppose we have a multitude of 22,000 of Bnei Yisrael, Choser Echad, missing just one. So 22,000 minus one. We don't get Shechina. Whose fault is it? We have this fellow who was not involved in having kids. He's the culprit. He's the missing one. Isn't this very fellow the cause of the Shechina not resting upon Klal Yisrael? It could have been his child that completed the quota. This highlights the importance of every individual amongst us to be Isaac. The period of a review. Abba Chanan Omar, Mishum Rabbi Lezer, Chayev Misa. One who's not involved in having kids is Chayev Misa Shenemer Obonim. This is by Nadav and Aviu, who passed away, who died on the day of the Chanukah Samishkan. And the Pasuk explains, Ubonim lo yohayu lohem, they had no children. What do we learn from here? Ha, apparently, Hoyulahim Bonim. Had they have had children, Loi Mesu, they would not have died. This also contributed to their death. Achirim Imrim, others explain, one who is not Oisik and Pru Revu, Goyrim Lo Shechina Shetestalak Misrael. He causes that Shechina should leave Klal Yisrael. So before we spoke about our specific number of 22,000, we're going to this approach. It's a general, has a general effect on the diminishing of the Hashruas Hashchina. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, L'yois l'chodei l'kim u'lezar'ach acharecha. Hashem is your, Klal Yisrael is Hashem, and to your children who follow you. It's one package. B'zman shezar'ach acharecha, when you have children following you, Shechina Shoyre, then we have the Shechina who rests upon us. Ein zar'ach acharecha, but if there are no children to perpetuate Klal Yisrael, al mi shoyre, upon whom will the Shechina rest? Al ha'etzim al avonim, on sticks and stones? Maral explains like this, based on the Gemara in the Dorim, which tells us that if one doesn't have children, ein lo yibonim is choshev kemes, it's tantamount to not being alive. Why? What's the connection between children and life? Says the Maral, very simple. What is chayim? Continuity, eternity, an uninterrupted existence. That's a true chayim. Children perpetuate. They make it one continuum. That adds to a person's element of chayim. It just keeps on going and going. Shechina is the ultimate the epitome of chayim and life, source of life. Shechina is only shura upon Klal Yisrael, which exhibits chayim. There's a continuity. There are generations that just keep it going. And that's when Shechina is shura. A lack of that creates a lack of Shechina, according to the Maral. Okay, so we see the importance of being involved in having children, bringing about the Shechina. Continues the Mishnah. Nosa isha v'shaha ima eser shanim v'lo yalda. What should a man do? It's after 10 years of marriage, there are no children. Einai rashai li batal. That's not an excuse. He can't just give up there. Rashi explains, he has one of two choices. Either divorce her and try again, or marry another, a second wife. Of course, this was before, you know, Cheder and Rabbeinu Gershom were disallowed two wives. In any case, the point of the Mishnah is, 10 years is the litmus test. That is the determinant factor here. After 10 years, you have to try again. Gersha, suppose Reuven was Megarish Rachel after 10 years of no children. Muteras l'nasi la'achar. Of course, she can go on and marry somebody else. Perhaps she'll be more lucky with the second fellow. Rashi explains, we don't say, well, apparently she's at fault. She's the barren one. She's the Akura. And the other fellow who needs to have children shouldn't go marry her. No. Perhaps we'll blame it on the husband. It's Reuven's fault. He wasn't zeicha to have children from her. So she's certainly allowed to go remarry. What happens then? V'rashai hasheni. Let's say there are no children there as well. It's another year, no children. They can wait up to 10 years again. V'rashai hasheni lishois imo yud shanim. They can stay married for another 10 years. V'imi pila. Suppose an isha miscarries. Moino misha sheipila. She begins counting at that point. It sort of resets the calendar, the clock. 10 years start all over again. Turn her up on him. No, so isha visha ima eser shanim lo yoda. Suppose he was married for 10 years without children. Yoitzi v'itin ksuva. He should divorce, but he has to pay the ksuva. Who's to say that she's at fault? Maybe he's at fault. Shema lo yizacha libanis mimena. Perhaps he's the one that was not worthy of having children, therefore he can't blame it on her. He has to pay her the ksuba obligations. Now, how do we know that 10 years is the limit when it comes to this halacha? Although we don't have an absolute raya to this point, we do have some sort of indication and hint in the Torah. Miketz eser shanim l'sheves Avram be'eretz Kanaan. Avram Avinu. With Sarah Imenu, after 10 years of living in Eretz Yisrael, no children. What did Avram do? He took Hagar. And eventually, Sarah as well gave birth to Yitzchak. So we see from here that 10 years is the maximum allowed until they make the next move. Now, Tosis asks, why isn't this a raya? We're looking for a raya that after 10 years you have to make a move. He says that it's not really a raya because we can't learn from here that he has to divorce his wife. That's a chiddush. All we see is that he took another wife. He took Hagar. So it's not a clear raya to the Elohim al Mishnah, which tells us that he has to divorce. Elohim the Braisa. He has to divorce. Unless he takes another wife. We don't see that. We don't see it to that extent. The halacha remains a halacha, but we have a sort of indicator on the fact that Avram Avinu waited only 10 years until he made that move. In any case, we see another interesting point from this pasuk. Why does the pasuk have to point out it had been 10 years l'sheves Avram be'eretz Kanaan after having moved to Eretz Yisrael? 10 years of residing in Eretz Yisrael, and then he decided to make that move. Lamedcha, this teaches us, you never know which factors are at play. She'en yeshivas chutzal la'aretz oyle loy min aminyan. All the years in which he lived in chutzal la'aretz, Rashi says, many years they lived in Padan Aram. That doesn't count. Perhaps the avoin, the sin of living in chutzal la'aretz and lacking the schutz of Eretz Yisrael, was a contributing factor. It's the only time you have a true indication of what's going on is after having resided in Eretz Yisrael for 10 years and still childless, then you know there's something wrong. Based on this, based on the fact that we see that we do account for all types of factors which may be contributors to this situation. Lefichach, therefore, chalahu, if you have any other mitigating factor, he's unwell. Oshachal sahi, she's unwell. Oshneim chavushim bebeis asur, and they're both in prison, in which case there is minimal interaction there. That doesn't count for 10 years. You say it's 10 years. As we see by Avraham Avinu, perhaps it's 20 years. Give them more of a chance. 20 years. As we see by Yitzchak Avinu, Yitzchak ben Abraham Shana, b'kachteis Rivka. How old was he when he married Rivka? 40. How long did they wait? Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana b'ladas Oysam. It was all of 20 years later. When they finally had their first children. Apparently 20 years is okay. Amar Lacy responded, you can't prove anything from Yitzchak. Don't you know the Avos and the Emois were physically unable to bear children? Yitzchak Oker Haya. Yitzchak was barren. He couldn't physically have any children. And he knew. He knew that his situation was attributed to that. And therefore, there was no point in him going marrying somebody else. Because medically speaking, he was at fault. Says the Gemara, Yachi Avraham Nami Akir Haya. If that's the case, then what about Avraham Avinu? What's the raya from Avraham? As we're going to see soon in the Pasuk, Avraham Avinu as well was medically unable to bear children. So how can you bring a raya from the halacha of Avraham Avinu, the fact that he waited 10 years? Perhaps 10 years was only because he was an Akar. Says the Gemara, Hu miboyle luk Rav Chiya bar Abba. So Rashi explains like this. You're right, Yitzchak was an Akar. Avram was an Akar. And you can't really prove much. On the surface, there's nothing much to prove from these cases because they were anomalies. They were unable to bear children. The raya is, because if then, why does the pasuk have to point out that it was after 10 years of residing in Eretz Yisrael when Avram decided to take Hagar? What's the point of mentioning that? Apparently, the pasuk here is imparting to us a lesson, a general halach, a general formula. In all cases, 10 years is the limit. And that forms the basis for this halacha. Now, so why did the pasuk speak about Yitzchak being 20 years married? What's the point of mentioning that? If not to teach us that you can wait 20 years? Oh, the answer is, there's another reason why the pasuk would mention that. Unrelated to our sugya, Hahu miboyle, that's needed like Rav Chiya bar Abba. Dam Rav Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yechanan, this is a Gemara in Megillah. Lama nimnu shneisav shal Yishmael, why did the pasuk even get involved in mentioning how many years Yishmael lived, he was a Rasha. What's the point of discussing that? It was just to be able to use that as an indicator. The liachis ben shnois of shal Yaakov, in which case you can figure out how many years Yaakov lived. And Rashi explains based on the Gemara Megillah. That's why we can figure out that in fact he spent 14 years in the yeshiva on the way to Lavan. This teaches us a profound lesson in Kibud Avaim that although he was punished for the other years, but not for Talmud Torah, yes, because Talmud Torah overrides Kibud Avaim, as discussed in the Gemara Megillah of Yud Zayin. So that's the purpose of the pasuk that's speaking about how old Yitzchak was here, how old he was there. That serves the basis for that calculation, which teaches us this lesson about Talmud Torah is greater than Kibud Avaim. But bottom line is, the other pasuk about Avraham Avinu residing 10 years in Eretz Yisrael, after which he went to Hagar, that indeed is a zechel davar, a true indicator to this concept that 10 years without children is the uppermost limit. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, indeed, Yitzchak Avinu Akar Haya, Yitzchak Avinu was an Akar, barren, he could not bear children. Shneimar vayetar Yitzchak Hashem lenoichach ishtoi. After 20 years, Yitzchak stood before Hashem. Vayetar Yitzchak Hashem lenoichach ishtoi. Opposite his wife. Now, if it was only his wife who needed help, if she was medically unfit, How would the pasuk say it? It would say Alishtoi. He davened to Hashem on behalf of his wife. It doesn't say that Loinemar. Elo rather Loinoichachishtoi. He just stood opposite her. There was something wrong with him, and she knew there was something wrong with her. And they both stood opposite each other, asking Hashem, begging Hashem for compassion about their, to address their personal medical condition, each one his own. Malamet Shishneim Akurim Oyu. They're both in this state of Akurim. Yach, if that's the case, when Hashem responds, it says, Vayeter Loi. Hashem acquiesced to him. If they were both involved, Yitzchak was davening for his own condition, Rivka for hers, Vayetar Lahemi Boyle. Wouldn't the pasuk say that Hashem turned to both of them? Answer is, they both petitioned, but the primary recipient of Hashem's compassion was his, was Yitzchak. Hashem responded primarily to Yitzchak. Why? Lefish einu doim et tefillah tzadik ben tzadik. You can't compare the level, the value, the power of Yitzchak Avinu's tefillah. Yitzchak was a tzadik ben tzadik. That can't be compared to tefillah's tzadik ben Rasha, to Rivka Imenu, who was a tzadikas, the daughter of a Rasha, Lavan. His tefillah was more powerful, more effective, and that's why the pasuk says, Vayeter Loi. He was the primary recipient of Hashem's response. Amar Yitzchak, Mipnei ma hoyu avoseinu akurim. Why is it? Why was it that our avos were medically unable to bear children? You know why? Mipnei shakadosh baruch hu mis'avel letfilosin shel tzadikim. Unbelievable. Hashem desires the tefillah of a tzadik. You know, the Medrash adds the imois. Same question regarding the imois. Why were the imois barren? Why were they akurim? Physically deficient in this regard, because Hashem is mis'avel tefilosin shel imois. So it's all the way around. It's not that we have a need and that's why we have to daven. Just the opposite. Hashem wants us to be close to Him. Tefillah is the ultimate closeness to Hashem. Hashem wants that. Hashem is looking for that. So Hashem creates that need. So now we need to daven to Him and get close to Him. And how powerful are the tefillahs of tzaddikim? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lama nimshal tefillasin shel tzaddikim ka'asar. Pasuk uses a very interesting term to describe the tefillah of Yitzchak. Vayertar, and Yertar is miloshon asar. Asar is like a pitchfork. Why compare the tefillah of a tzaddik to a pitchfork? The answer is ma asar zeh mahapech hatefuah mimakom lemakom. Just as a pitchfork has the ability to overturn the tefuah, bring it from one place to the other. Kach tefillasin shel tzaddikim mahapeches midoyis of shel hakadosh baruch hu. Likewise, the tefillahs of a tzaddik are so powerful, so impactful, they have the ability to overturn Hashem's midos, midas ragzonus, from anger, midas rachmanus, to compassion. Amar bi ami, Avram v'soro tumtumin hayu. Avram and Soro both tumtums, their simonim of Zachar Nekeva were covered up. And Tosis brings that a tumtum doesn't have the ability to be moiled, and Hashem recreated them, reform their bodies. Shenema rabitu al tzur chaytzavchem. Rashi says chaytzavchem is the lashon Hashem formed the aver of the zachar to Avram. Vel makevas bor nukartem. This lashon nekeva. Hashem created the cavity, the nekev for Sarah. How do we know it's Avram and Sarah? Uksiv habitu al Avram avichem. This is the next pasuk. Look back at Avram avichem vel Sarah techolalchem, and that's what the previous pasuk is speaking about. Avram and Sarah were reconfigured by Hashem, which enabled their childbearing. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Sarah Imenu Islandis Haisa. She was an islandess. Experienced this medical condition which made her unable to bear children. Shenemar Vadhi Sarah Akara. Ein lo valad. Why the repetition? Well, if she's an Akara, she's barren, of course, there are no children. The Chiddush is Afilu Beis Valad Ein lo. She was lacking even the physical chamber which can potentially bear a child. It's amazing that our whole existence, Klal Yisrael's whole existence, is a miraculous existence, supernatural existence. It came about through Nes, beyond the physical. Amar Bidabiridav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Rav. The halacha that we learned about 10 years. 10 years being the maximum up until when they can wait. That's only Loishonu Labdiris Rishonim. That stretch, that allowance is only for years gone by. The earlier generations, Sheshnei Seim Merubais, they lived long lives. 500 years, 600 years. So they can afford to wait 10 years. Ava Badiris Achroini, but nowadays, Sheshnei Seim Muatais, life's much, much shorter. We can't afford a 10-year wait. Shtei Shanu Mechza. You wait 2.5 years, and that's it. So that's, how many months? 30 months. Why 30 months? Kineged corresponds to Shloisha Yiburim. Three potential pregnancy periods. So you have 9 months each. Right, times 3 is 27. Rashi says you have to add a month for each one for the Yimei Tumah V'Tahara. So you wait that long, you give her 3 chances, and that's it. Try again. Rabbi Omar of Nachman, he gave a different shiur. You wait 3 years. Shalish Shanim, Kenega Shalish Pekidus corresponds to 3 Rosh Hashanah, when Hashem potentially could have remembered her, so to speak, Latoiva, and decreed that she should become Mu'beres. You wait 3 years, and that's it. D'Omar Mar, as we learned in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, on the day of Rosh Hashanah, Nifkadu, we remember Latoiva, Sarei Imenu, Rochel Imenu, and Chana. So that's the time when Hashem is masker, the Akores. You wait 3 of those, and if it's unsuccessful, you try again. Rosh Hashanah, Nifkadu, Sarei, Rochel, V'Chana. Omar Rabba, no, less nulani klali. I don't agree with all these new numbers. It's 10 years, it's always 10 years. Michti, let's take a look. Masnisen man tokin. Who composed our Mishnayis? Who edited the Mishnayis? Rabbi, right? Rabbi Danasi, Rabbi HaKadosh. And during his times, how long did they live? 7 years, just like us. Rabbi made David imachni, already in David HaMelech's times, before Rabbi HaKadosh. Life expectancy dropped. 7 years, that's it. If you're lucky, 80. Right? So if Rebbe is giving the shir of Eser Shanim, and he's speaking for his times, when the average lifespan was 70, 80 years, but that's the average lifespan, as it says in the Pasuk. It's interesting, Atosis brings here that this pasuk is in which capital? That's Tfilo LeMoshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu lived lived much longer than 70. So Atosis says, Mestam David HaMelech said it. Because that's exactly how long David HaMelech lived. But Moshe Rabbeinu lived way longer than that. So this pasuk refers to David HaMelech's lifetime. In any case, the fact that Rabbi HaKadosh in our Mishnayis works with the 10-year formula, despite the fact that they only lived a relatively shorter life. Apparently, it applies to all, for all time. Now, let's go back to the halacha that we mentioned before, that after 10 years, and they weren't zeicha, yoytzi v'yitein ksuva, right? So they have to separate, but he has to pay the ksuva because perhaps he's at fault. Right? Question is, why is the default assumption that he's at fault? Why are you saying that? Maybe she's at fault. Maybe it's her schus that's lacking here. Answers the Gemara. The isha, the wife, kivan de loy mifkada piri v'rivya. Since she's not obligated in the mitzvah of puravu, it's a man's mitzvah. Loy ma'ancha, Hashem would not punish her in this way. Apparently the punishment relates to him, and he has to pay up. Now, getting back to the Mishnah, what we learned, that after 10 years, if they're unsuccessful, he has to do something. He has to perhaps marry another wife. and give it another try. Eini, is that correct? We seem to have a story which doesn't really tell this line. V'amru le'rabbanon le'rab Abba bar Zavda, the Rabbanon told Rab Abba, Nosev itasev, oiled me, go ahead and try again, marry another wife and bring children. V'amru le'hu, and he told him, it's too late. Izakai, if I would have been worthy of having children, ha, v'limikam maisa, I certainly would have had them from the first wife. How could he say that? Didn't we learn the Mishnah? He meant to try again. Answers the Gemara, it wasn't really the correct response. It was just sort of a teretz. Hasam over there, the chui kamat chilul rabban. He was just pushing them away. It wasn't the real answer. The real answer was that he was no longer able to have children. Why? The Rav Abba bar Zavda, iakar. He became an akar. He became medically unfit. Unable to bear children. How? Mipirkei the Rav Huna. We had this the other day because of the long drushes of Rav Huna. And the Talmidim who would be right beside Rav Huna had a very hard time leaving, and they would just wait and wait and hold back from tending to their personal needs, which would harm them physically and make them unable to have children. That's what happened to him. Otherwise, certainly he would have married again and tried again. Likewise, Rav Gidl. Same thing happened to him. Iakir, he became an akar. From where? Mipirkei de Rav Huna. Rav Chelbi as well. Iakir, mipirkei de Rav Huna. Rav Sheshes as well. Iakir, mipirkei de Rav Huna. Rav Achamar Yaakov, he was lucky. Rav Achamar Yaakov, achadate suskinta. He was gripped by the suskinta condition, very close to becoming fully ill. Tal Yuha ba'arzad ve'rav, they hung him on the tree in the Bismendish of Rav, and that somehow cured him. V'nafach minei, and out from him came this illness in a form of a green substance, kehutza yarka, this green palm leaf. In any case, he was saved at the last moment. Amar of Achbar Yaakov, and indeed he made this comment. He says, look, Shitin Sabi Havina, we were 60, you know, Tamid Chachamim and the Bismedush of Rab, Vikulu Iakur Pikid Rav Huna, and we were 60 in the Bismedush of Rav Huna, and we all of them, became Akar, became barren because of the long Shiurim. Levar Me'ana, I was the exception. The Kami Ben Avshoi, because I applied to myself, HaChochma Techaya Ba'aleh, wisdom keeps its owner alive. Some Farshim explained that he knew exactly how to manipulate the system, and his body was not affected by the fact that he was prevented from tending to his needs, and he was saved at the last moment. So what does the Mishnah say? After 10 years are up, he has to go for another try. So let's say he divorces her. She's allowed to proceed, marry another fellow, wait another 10 years. Says the Gemara, what about if the second couple is unsuccessful as well? 10 years are up, once again, and he divorces her. Can she go marry Levi? She married Reuven, 10 years are up. She married Shimon, 10 years are up. Can she go marry Levi? It would sound from the Mishnah that she cannot. Levi has to bring children. This woman has a track record. It's already twice that she hadn't born any children. Perhaps it's a chazaka. This is what she is. This is her nature. The third fellow can marry her for the sake of children. Sheni in. The second fellow, Shimon, go ahead. But Shlishi Loi, but not Levi. After 10 years with Shimon Arab. Apparently twice. Is a chazaka. Is that so? Is a chazaka established by repeating once, twice? Or do you need three times in order to establish a proven track record? This is Machlekes Tanai. Whether it's two or three. The Mishnah, which indicates that it's two. How do we see that from the Mishnah? The fact that she married Reuven and then Shimon with no children, she shouldn't go marry Levi because it repeated once and again. Mas Nisan Mani, who's speaking in this Mishnah? Whose Shita is this? Which one of the two Tanaim? Rebbe, who holds that a twice repetition is considered Chazaka. The Sanyo. We see with regards to Bris Mila. Mala Harisha Numes. Mother had a child. She went, she took him to the Bris Mila. It was a traumatic experience. He passed away. Sheni. She tried again with her second child, Umes. He also passed away. Shlishi loy tamal, third time around, don't take him to the mile. There is indication of some sort of medical vulnerability, medical weakness, perhaps a clotting issue. You have a track record, you have a chazaka. It failed once, it failed again, twice. That's enough to create a track record and a chazaka. That's Rebbe's sheet. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer says no. Shlishi tamal. You need three times, so the third one is okay. Go take him to the mile. If that too fails, now you have a triple track record. Reveal a tumble the fourth time around, don't do mila. So going to Rebbe, repeating something twice generates chazaka. Going to Rabban Shimon Gamliel, you need at least three times. Our Mishnah, which seems to indicate that twice is enough, is following Shitas Rebbe. About Tani Ifcha, we have a brisa which switched the numbers around. Rebbe holds three. Rabban Shimon Gamliel holds two. Which one is more reliable? Haiman Ayachr Neisa. Which one's the more recent version, which would indicate that that's the more reliable one? Tashmau, bring a right, that's the first version. He had a story as follows. A story involving four sisters who all had sons. Bitzipori, in the town of Tzipori. Shemala Rishayna Umes. Sister number one did mila on her son and he passed away. Shnia, the second sister, followed suit. Umes, her son as well passed away. Shlishis Ameis, Revius Ameis. Same happened to the third, the same to the fourth. Sorry. Shlishis Ameis, the third one, tried it and her son died. Revius, now it came time for the fourth sister to attempt a mila on her son. Right, it hadn't yet happened. It was only three times. Here comes the fourth sister. So she came to the Rav. What should I do? Bas lefnei Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Amar lo, he tells her, it happened three times. Al tamuli, don't do a bris mila. This story would indicate that it is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel indeed who holds that betlas zimni have a chazaka. Chazaka is created by repeating something three times, and that fits with the first version of the Gemara, the brice that we had, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds a chazaka is generated by repeating something three times, as opposed to Rabbi who holds twice is enough. Asks the Gemara, how is this a raya? How does this prove anything? Perhaps if the third sister would have arrived and asked the same shali, he would have said the same thing. Maybe he really holds that twice is enough. Things that she never came to ask. It was only the fourth that happened to come ask. And Cain, if that would be the case, Maya Saduse der Bchiba Abba. You see, this story was presented by who? By an Amayr, Abchir Ba'aba. He was coming to prove something. He was coming to teach us something. What was he coming to teach us? Just to tell us a story that has no halachic ramification, has no halachic value? Apparently he knew that Rabban Shimon Gamliel was responding to the fourth time because he holds you need three times for chazak. Maybe not. V'dilma kamashmalan. Maybe that part is not really conclusive. Perhaps he would have said the same thing the previous time. The point of his testimony, or Chibar Abba's testimony, is to teach us something else. Ha'kamashmalan da'achayis mechaskes. Here's a chiddush. We're not speaking about three, four children of the same mother, as we had in the first brisa, right? Mala rishon ameis, shein ameis, the same mother experiencing tragedy after tragedy with her own children, which perhaps is a stronger indicator, it's a stronger correlating factor than in the last case where we have separate families. Rachel's son, Leah's son, Shifra's son, Bilhah's son, right? Who's to say that one can be an indicator that they feed off each other, that the tragedy that happened with Rachel's son is going to provide any sort of indication regarding what's going to happen with Leah's son. And here was the chiddush, yes, achayos mechaskes. This pattern indicates some sort of medical weakness in the in the broader family as well. And that's a chiddush. Perhaps that's the point of his edus. Amar Rava, based on this, says Rava, here comes another halacha. Hashta da amras achayos mechaskes. Now that you've established this concept, that even among sisters we follow this pattern, which raises a serious concern as to the medical deficiencies found in this family at large. Once you validate this concern, we're going to learn another halacha. One has to be careful when he detects any sort of medical irregularities, any sort of pattern in a family. L'yisa adam isha. One should hold back from marrying an isha of a family. Seems to have medical issues. Lo mishpachas nichven, a family who has some sort of sickness where they collapse and they're weak. Lo mishpachas mitzrayim, where they have mitzrayim. V'udis chazek losa zimni. Provided you have a triple indicator, you have to see some sort of pattern. Three individuals in that family who suffer from this condition. Interesting halacha. Okay, getting back to our shaila. What's considered a chazaka? Is it twice? Is it three times? My havi Allah. What's the conclusion? Kios Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, when he came, he said, Omar, over the hava kamed Rabbi Yechanan. There was a story that came to Rabbi Yechanan. A shaila that was presented to Rabbi Yechanan. B'knishta de Moin. In the Beis HaKnesses of the town of Moin. It happened B'yem HaKippurim Shechaliyos B'Shabbos. On Yom Kippur on Shabbos. There was a question as to whether they should do a Bris Milah. It was the eighth day. And there was some history behind this question. Umala Rishayna Umes. The first child of this mother passed away through his Bris Milah. The same with the second son, Shni Omes. He passed away after his bris. And this was the third time around. Shlishis Baal Lefanov, she came to Rabbi Yechanan. On Yom Kippur on Shabbos, should I do the Bris Milah today? It's his eighth day. Amar lo, he tells her, Lechi Umuli, go do the Bris. Clearly Rabbi Yechanan holds, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that if it's any less than three times, it's not an established track record, it's not a chazaka, that's a raya that he holds. Chazaka needs to be three times. Omar li Abaye. So Abaye turned it sounds like to Rabbi Yitzchak or Yosef, who related the story, that less than three times is not considered an established chazaka. He says to him, this is real serious. Chazi, be very mindful, the kasharis is sura v'sakanta. By establishing this as a halacha, by teaching this halacha, you're being matir, a potential isur, because you're doing a bris milah on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, on Yom Kippur. V'sakanta, you're also taking responsibility for potential sakanas nefashes. You're saying that up until three times, nothing to worry about. Okay. You better be sure you have it right. In any case, Samach ala Abaye, Abaye himself relied on this ruling pertaining to his own personal life. He married an Isha who had a very sad sad track record. Her first two husbands had passed away. And Abaye went and married her because of this halacha, because, look, twice is nothing. Twice is not a chazaka. Samach ala Abaye. Abaye relied on this very ruling. Va'azal, he went Nazba, he married L'chaima, that was her name. And she was the daughter of Barta, the Isi Breid, Rav Yitzchak Breid, Rav Yudah. And she had a track record. She had a history. Her first two husbands passed away. The Nazba, Rochava, the Medisa, Rochava Medisa married her, B'shach, when he passed away. And then again, Rav Yitzchak Breid, the Rabbi Rochana, he married her, B'shach, when he passed away. And Abaye, despite all this, went ahead and married her. Renasbahu, and guess what happened? Veshachiv, and he passed away. Amar Ravas, Ravas said, Umi yikad the avid uvda ben avsheki hai? Is there a person that would just go do such a thing with his own personal life like Abaye did? How could he rely
on Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef's version of event, which sought to prove that twice is not to be reckoned with. Abai himself was the one who told us that Abin the Samcha. That whenever we have Avin who's quoting Rabbi Yochanan, that's reliable. But Yitzchak Sumka, this is a reference to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, that's for some reason they called him Yitzchak Sumka. Lavar Samcha, what he says, when he quotes Rabbi Yochanan, it's not necessarily authoritative, not necessarily 100% reliable. Why? The Gemara explains. Because Avin was always there, 24-7. Yeshna b'chazor. He was always there by Rabbi Yochanan. And if Rabbi Yochanan would have second thoughts and revert and be chazor on what he said, change his mind, Avin was there to pick it up. He would know the last, latest, most reliable version of Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. So whenever he tells you something, you know it's true. As opposed to Yitzchak Sumka, ain't b'chazor. He wasn't necessarily always there, and he wouldn't necessarily know if Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind. So you can't really rely on the halachas that he tells us. So why did Abayif rely on Rabbi Yitzchak's version of the halacha? Why did he take the liberty to marry an Isha whose husbands had twice passed away? V'oid, another kasha. Eimar de pligi linyan mila. Sure, we find that Rabbi Yerushalayim Gamliel have a discussion regarding what's considered a chazaka with respect to bris mila. Twice, three times, fine. But b'nisun mipliga, when it comes to marriage-related concepts, is there a machlekes? Is there anybody that holds that until three times, it doesn't raise a red flag? There's no concern with marrying this Isha? Why did Abaye do this? Says the Gemara, actually in, yes. The machlekes applies to that concept as well. But Tanya, as we learned, Ni says l'rishon omeis, Rachel marries Reuben, Reuben passes away. L'sheni omeis, she marries Shimon, Shimon passes away. L'shlishi l'tinase, don't go marry Levi. You have a track record. Perhaps that's Minas Shemaim, your husband's just passed away. She shouldn't be marrying anymore. Divrei, who's speaking? Rebbe. Because he holds, a repetition creates chazak. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, no, until three times, you have no track record. L'shlishi l'tinase, go marry Levi. It's only twice, go marry Levi. But if tragedy strikes again, the Revi Loitinase, she can't marry Yehuda. So it's clear in this brisa, even pertaining to marriage, the same machlekes would apply. How do we understand that? What is the Isha? Why is she to blame for her husband's death? I understand Mila. Mishlei Megabe Mila, I can understand. Ika Mishpacha de Rafidam, you have a family whose blood is sort of looser and has a hard time clotting, therefore dangerous to inflict a wound at that early point. V'yikim mishpacha dekamidam. You have a family whose dam is more clot-oriented, in which case it can heal easily. There's no danger to do a bris. So these are family-oriented medical conditions. So we know that if the family exhibits this type of condition, be careful. Elon is suing when it comes to marriage. My timer, why are you concerned? Why would you attribute it to the Isha? The Bashar, two husbands passed away. Why would you say no more marriage for her? Amalei Rav Mardechai Rav Ashi. He answers like this. Hachi Amar Avimi Me'agrunya. He said, Mishmei de Rav Huna. Mayan Goyim. The woman's womb, her Mayan, her source, her womb area, that's Goyim. The physical interaction with this type of Isha is perhaps the source of his illness. So once it happens, once and again, that's an indication of some sort. Rav Ashi Yomar has a different pshat, mazel gerim, perhaps it's her mazel, Menashe Shemayim, her husband's passed away. In any case, if we see it as a track record, as a pattern, you have to really be concerned. Might be any difference between the two pshatim, whether it's the Mayan or the mazel? We have two nafkaminas. Ike benayu. Firstly, the irsa omeis. Suppose he only engaged her. He was mekadesher, never physically interacted, and then he passed away. You don't have the svara of mayan goyim, right? You can attribute it to that, but you do have the svara of mazal goyim. Inami, another difference would be the nafal midikla omeis. He fell off a tree, he met a tragic death. So mazal applies, but not mayan. You see, clearly it has nothing to do with the Isha. So bottom line is, we have many, many different types of applications to this halacha of chazak. We had bris milah, we had marrying an isha whose husband's passed away. We had the case now Mishnah, marrying an isha who we see time after time has no children. It would seem that in all cases we have the machlokes between Rebbe, who says twice is the litmus test. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you need three times to create that track record. How do we pask? Amalei Rav Yosef, braid the Rava. He told the Rava, I'll tell you an interesting episode. Boy, me name Rav Yosef. I once asked Rav Yosef, halacha ke Rebbe? Does halacha follow Rebbe? Twice is a chazaka? That was my question. V'amali, and he responded, yeah, sure. Twice is a chazaka. Next time I asked him, halacha ke Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Do we follow Shimon Gamliel? V'amali, he tells me, yeah, for sure. So Tosa says, probably he asked him as follows, is halacha k'rebi oy k'rebi Shimon Gamliel? And he says, we follow both. So in any case, it's very confusing to me. Achuchi achichbi, is he just mocking me? It's this, it's that, what's going on? Amalei, so Rabbi says, no. It was actually very exact answer. Loi, he wasn't making fun, he was answering your question. Because sometimes we follow Rebbe, and sometimes we pass like Shimon Gamliel. In fact, stummy. If you look around, you find many Mishnahs that are stum, like anonymous Mishnahs, that were written by Rebbe purposefully in that way, because we want a paskin like that. So he didn't put a name to the halacha. This way we paskin, it would appear that's the general consensus. In any case, we find many Mishnahs which seem to conflict each other. Sometimes we find, a Mishnah that presented as twice being a chazaka, sometimes the Mishnah tells us three times a chazaka, depending on which context. Upashit lach, and when Rav Yosef indicated to you that sometimes it's like this, sometimes like that, he meant as follows: Upashit lach. It follows the way the Mishnayos were presented, and the way they were worded. On the one hand, you have nisun malchus kerebi when it comes to the concept of when it comes to the halacha of marriage, as we spoke, or in the case of malchus, as we're going to see soon, a person's a repetitive offender. In that case, we follow Rebbe, twice is enough to establish a chazok. When it comes to another two halachas, vesta is the vest of the isha nida to establish a pattern and an established zman for nida, vishara muad, or to establish that this ox is a habitual gorer. When it comes to those halachas, we need three times. This pretty much follows the pattern of the Mishnayos. By Nisuin, by Malkis, Rebbe was soisim in the Mishnah, like Rebbe Shita, like Rebbe Shita, that it's twice. When it comes to the other halachas, we find the Mishnayos went the other way. You need three times for Chazak. Explains the Gemara. Where do we find this? Nisuin, when it comes to marriage-oriented halachis, hadamar, as we just had now, Mishnah. No children from number one, number two. That's it, you can't marry a third time. Because once it happens twice, that's a chazak. Malkis, where do we find two is considered a track record when it comes to Malkis? If he's a repetitive offender and establishes himself as a Rasha, then he's liable to a very, very severe punishment. It's not. Misha Laka Vishana. This fellow did an Avera. He violated a law and got Malkus. And did it again. We see this fellow is a Rasha, based in Koinsenes of the Kippur. Bezin takes him into this narrow chamber. This is Alacha Mesh Mesina. You treat him like this. They feed him barley. I should say, Kresen Yifkaz, until his stomach bursts. So a double offender, a repetitive offender, even just twice, is considered a chazaka when it comes to these things. When it comes to vestas, it's three times, it's not. Eina isha kevas la vest. How does isha establish for herself a set time, a vest, on which day we can expect her period? The nafkamina would be that she sees dam on that day, on which she expects that period, We know it came today. We don't have to suspect that it came earlier. Likewise, says Rashi, she has to check herself. She has to examine herself on that day, because that day is the day which she's liable to become tummy. How does that get established? How do we determine that this is her vest? This is her set day of Re'iyas Nida? Three times. Eina isha kevas la vest. Asha tekive'enu shalish pa'amim. She had to have experienced Re'iyas Dam on that day, a day of the month, a day of the week, whatever, however it works, but it had to happen three times in a row. And likewise, she can't uproot that until she switches three times. Ve'ima ta'eres min aves. She can't uproot the vet. Asha ta'akim menu shalosh pa'am. She doesn't become tar. Meaning she can't delete this vest from her calendar until she uproots, until she changes three times. During which she'll see on different days, right? So clearly, the din of vest need does depend upon three times. Ve'shor amud. What about the shor amud? How do we know it takes three times? It's not in a shor nas amud. Ashi idaboy shleisha pa'amim. When the shor gores three times, he has established for himself a track record that he's a wild animal. He's a habitual gorer, in which case his owner is now fully responsible to pay all his damages. So the bottom line is, when it comes to the question of chazaka, is it twice or three times? It can go either way. It depends what we're speaking about. When it comes to marriage-oriented issues or malkiyos, it's twice. When it comes to vest nida, shor amud, it's three times. That's how we pass it. Now the mefarshim, all the mefarshim ask the same kasha. How could this be? We're dealing with one issue. What constitutes a track record? What creates a chazaka? It's either twice or three times. How can we have it both ways? When it comes to some halachas, it's twice. When it comes to other halachas, it's three times. And in fact, Tosfos is mashma, that Rebbe would agree. He agrees that by nida, by shor amud, it's three times. How can that be? According to Rebbe, it's twice. The Mefarshim explain like this. It all depends what you're trying to accomplish, what you're trying to verify. There are two types of chazakas. One is more of an indication. It's a gili milsa. It's a revelation. Nisun. Her husband's passed away. That raises a red flag. That's an indicator of some sort. That she's a dangerous. She's a mayan. There's a mazel. That's creating this sakana, this danger. So if it's just once, that's just a happening. That's just a random chance happening. It doesn't really prove anything. But once you get that past that first time, oh, that raises a concern. It's not necessarily an established fact. It doesn't necessarily confirm anything. It's not a vaday, but it's enough to raise a question mark, in which case you take precaution. Especially when we're dealing with sakanas nefashis. You don't marry her the third time. When it comes to the child of bris mila, same halacha. It's once, it's again, 1 second. We have to take extra precaution. True, we haven't really proved anything. Perhaps that only happens after three, but once you have it twice, it's enough to say 1 second. Let's hold back. Because there, you're not establishing anything. It's just an indicator. It's megala on a pre-existing condition. And twice is enough to raise that concern. But when it comes to things that are habit-related, shor amud, he's a tame animal. Three times, oh, now you're habitual. Now you're a wild animal. It happens through goring. The isha with the vest. You're not proving anything. You're making that track record. You're creating. You're establishing a vest. That needs three times. Once. And again, again. Oh, now you've established it. It's not an indication. It's not a gilui milsa. You're not trying to discover some pre-existing condition here. You're trying to create, this is my vest. You're trying to establish, well, now he's a wild animal. And that happens through goring. The isha becomes kavua when she has that track record, when she creates that and establishes that habit. So in that case, you need three times to establish it. And actually, according to the Rambam, but the Rasha as well, it's only three times. He learns the Gemara differently, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that it's three times, because you have to he has to become a habitual offender. It's not a gilui milsa, it's not a pre-existing condition. Every person's a tzaddik to start off, right? Unfortunately, after once, twice, and three times, he has become entrenched in avera. So there's a big difference between nisuin and bris mila, where you're just trying to uncover a pre-existing condition. Once you have twice, that's enough to raise that concern to be careful. As opposed to cases where you're trying to establish a track record going forward, that happens through once and again, oh, now I have it. So bottom line is, we learned about the virtues of being icing a peer of Yerivia, brings about Shechina, etc. We wait 10 years. 10 years in Eretz Yisrael. Right? And in absence of any other mitigating factors, after 10 years, it's time to start thinking about further efforts. Either adding a wife or being a garish. And as Umar tells us, this applies even nowadays. We learned about the Ovis and the Mois who are totally unable to bear children, and miraculously Hashem switched things around through that tefillah, which Hashem truly desires, and that's why Hashem created the condition to begin with. Because Hashem is misavot v'lasen shel tzaddikim. We concluded with the halacha of the chazaka twice, three times, machlokes tanoim, and the final psak halacha. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.